process. We acknowledge that the land upon which we gather is unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Epiquet, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. We pay our respects to the indigenous Mi'kmaq people who have occupied this island for over 12,000 years, past, present, and future. Today, we light this candle with the hope that the light shining forth through all gathered can spread peace, not only in our hearts, but within this hurting world. Amen. Please join me in the call to worship. Come, enter this sanctuary, this home of our church family. Bring your joys and be thankful. Bring your troubles and be trusting. Bring your hearts to share God's love. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me in the gathering prayer. In the midst of all our chattering thoughts, in the midst of all our worries and our wonderings, in the midst of all our deformities and our defects, we come to share your heart, O God. Be blessed by your grace to find our roots within, your good news to be transformed in faith, and to give thanks and trust for our communion in Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Today, our scripture reading is from Chronicles chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. David anointed king of all Israel. When all Israel gathered together to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time now, even when Saul was king, it was you who commanded the army of Israel. The Lord your God said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel. You who shall be my ruler over all people Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Jerusalem captured. David and all Israel marched to Jerusalem, that is, Jabus, where the Jebusites were the inhabitants of the land. The inhabitants of Jabus said to David, 'You will not come in here.' Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, now the city of David. David had said, 'Whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be chief and commander.' And Joab, son of Zeruiah, went up first. So he became chief. David resided in the stronghold. Therefore, it was called the city of David. He built the city all around, from the Millo and complete circuit, and Joab repaired the rest of the city, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him." Now, this is a story called The City of David, taken from the Golden Treasury of Bible Stories. There was in the midst of the land a city that was to become famous to the end of time. It was a very old city, for in Abram's time it was there, and it was called Salem, which means peace. By Joshua's time, it had some time to be called Jerusalem, which means the place of peace. It was built on several hills, which made it a very strong city. The Israelites took the lower city several times, but they could not drive out the Jebusites, who held the high wall hill off of Zion, so they dwelt among them. But when David became king, he was determined to have Jerusalem for his capital city. So he sent out from Hebron with his army and besieged the upper stronghold of Zion. The Jebusites were very sure that no one would take their strong city. They laughed at David. They put some lame and blind people on the wall and said, "Even the blind and lame could stop you from coming in here." But David said to his men, "Go up over the wall. Whoever gets to the top, I will make him captain over the host." Of course, Joab, David's nephew, had been captain ever since the wilderness days. But David did not want him to be captain because he was so ruthless. He thought that by promising this, he would get someone very brave to take the place of Joab. But Joab was not going to let that happen. He put himself at the head of his men and was the first to mount the top of the wall and smite the enemy. So he kept his place as captain. This David took the stronghold of Zion, and he called it the City of David. He built great and strong walls to tie the hills together, and so united the upper and the lower cities into one. And he made Jerusalem a very strong city and his capital. Many great men have lived in Jerusalem since then, and many great deeds have been done there. The Lord himself put his presence there in the sanctuary that came to be built. And greatest of all, 1,000 years later, the Son of God walked and taught there and died there for the sins of the world. So for many ages, Jerusalem has been called the Holy City. Now, our next scripture reading is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, read by Braden Hutchison.
Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought in what is noble in sight of all. If it is possible, so far depends on you. Live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. By doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
Our reflection today is by Sandy Huang. Sandy Huang, one of the four United Church young adults who participated in a young adult pilgrimage of justice and peace, which was organized by the National Council of Churches in Korea and the Ecumenical Youth Council in Korea. She shares her experience from August 2019. Without history, there is no future. I had the privilege to take part in the Pilgrimage of Justice and Peace in the Korean Peninsula in August with over 70 young adults between the ages of 20 and 35 from approximately 20 different countries. This anonymous quote was shown in a video at the beginning of the pilgrimage has echoed in her mind throughout the remainder of her trip. Having focused most of my high school and university studies in the sciences, I have to admit that I am a little ignorant when it comes to world history. Aside from reading the information from high school social studies textbooks, I have not actively sought stories of the past. Perhaps at a subconscious level, I chose to stay ignorant to shield myself from the despondency that would result from learning about the tragedies of war. Nevertheless, as I mature, I realize that I cannot stay living inside a cocoon. So I went to Korea with an open mind and an open heart, ready to receive, ready to completely absorb myself in all that the country has to offer, to learn about its past and ways to perhaps move forward in the future. In Gwangju, not only did I visit the cemetery where victims of the May 18th Gwangju uprising were buried, I also stood in the building used as citizen resistance headquarters during the democratization movement, which became the last battlefield in May 27, 1980. I learned about the personal stories of many youth who courageously fought against the military regime, as well as stories of others rallying together to provide food and supplies in support of their efforts. At Guryong Village, I stood atop grassy knolls, perplexed by the cold-blooded killings carried out by the police and the military, while a few feet below the ground were mass graves where thousands who were suspected to have communist sympathies were buried after being brutally murdered. At the No Gunry Memorial Peace Park, we stayed overnight in an education center surrounded by perfectly manicured gardens with great variety of flowers as lush mountains soared in the distance. Against this beautiful and serene backdrop, I learned about the hundreds of refugees, mainly women, children, and the elderly, who were mercilessly shot at by the U.S. soldiers in 1950 July under the Twin Tunnels Bridge. This incident remained unpublished until almost 50 years later. At the Korean Demilitarization Zone, we visited the last train station in South Korea before entering North Korean territories. When in operation, this station will not only connect the Korean Peninsula, but also link to railroads across Russia and the rest of Europe. It is a symbol of hope for ongoing peace talks to take place between the North and the South. Back in Seoul, we attended a lecture on slavery during the Japanese military occupation and visited a prison history hall where we learned of the various torture methods inflicted upon independence and pro-democracy activists, many of whom were murdered while in prison. The more that I learn, the more questions that I have. At what point does a human being turn into an instrument of mass killing? If the democracy of my country was at stake, would I also take up arms and fight? Could there be peace without justice? And what is the cost of achieving both peace and justice in the world? The pilgrimage culminated in a joint prayer service for peace in Northeast Asia and for the peaceful reunification of the Korean Peninsula. It was an inspiring service that acknowledged the past, but also gave us hope for the future. It had been such a gratifying experience to take part in this journey with a group of passionate young leaders who wanted to make a difference. Although we came from diverse backgrounds and customs, we all longed for the same things: peace, justice, and freedom, not just in the countries we live in, but throughout the world. Without history, there is no future. This week of pilgrimage opened my eyes and forced me to come out of my cocoon of ignorance. It is my hope that we all educate ourselves so that we never forget the atrocities of war. Let us remember that deep down, we all long for peace. And let us ensure that the injustices experienced by the Korean people, as well as so many others around the globe, will never be repeated. Our mission service story today is by Ashley Keeping, one of two United Church young adults selected to attend the 2024 Minority Youth Forum in Miyakojima, Japan, hosted by the Center for Minority Issues and Mission. Just like Miyako residents, I live on an island and can relate to their everyday lives on their island, as it was small and humble just like here in Newfoundland. There was one prominent difference. The majority of the residents are seeking peace from their own government, something we don't have to worry about here in Canada. God called upon me to see how the people of Miyako Island are living and to share with everyone their struggle for peace. The Minority Youth Forum program brought together young adults from Canada, Japan, and Taiwan. The Youth Forum experience showed me how powerful it is to bring youth together to share our culture, to share our faith, and to share our stories. To be able to have discussions with youth from other cultures about how we can change the world gives me so much hope for our future. This trip filled my heart with joy, hope, and love for the wonderful people that I can now forever call friends. It also taught me that you need to find, keep, and treasure peace, as well as pursue it for the rest of your time. And that I will do. Thank you, Miyako, for everything you taught me. The Youth Forum is an ecumenical initiative of churches in Japan supported by the United Church of Canada and Mission and Service. Our generosity through Mission and Service helps programs that inspire peace and learning.
Good morning. This morning, Leah Boyle, the chair of the Community of Faith Profile Team, has an update on their work.
Good morning. Back in May, we let the congregation know that there'd be a transition process after Reverend Rachel took her call at Biddeford. And so I want to give you an update on that. It's certainly an ongoing process and sometimes a lengthy process. So council approved a committee called the Community of Faith Profile and Job Description Committee. It consisted of Mary McPherson, Darlene Smith, Kathy Pavlock, Duncan McKillop, Sandra Batten, and myself. And our job was to create a document that would outline what Trinity is like and what Trinity needs. It's a very comprehensive document. It outlines our worship, our pastoral care, the music at Trinity, outreach, and much, much more. As well, it outlines what we want as a minister, so we have created a position description. That process needs three approvals. So council has approved the document, and next it will go to region for approval, and they meet next on August the 18th. After that, we'll bring it to the congregation, and that will be after our service on the 30th of August. So we know that we cannot start the search until that profile has been approved. So as soon as that profile is approved, we'll put a search committee in place. Because that process will take some time, we've reached out with another committee called the Supply Minister Committee, and Duncan McKillop, myself, and Cyril Moyse were on that committee. And with that, we have found a retired minister who is willing to come and serve at Trinity until we can get a minister. So I'm just going to give you a little bit about him. So we are pleased, of course, to announce the appointment of Reverend Bill McLeod as a supply minister. He'll be working part-time with us starting October 11th with emphasis on worship and pastoral care. Although he'll not be starting until October, he has offered to come and preach here on September 13th. Reverend Bill McLeod has an impressive resume. He began his ministry in 1973. His first call was to Plaster Rock Grand Falls Pastoral Church, where he stayed from 1973 to 76. Since then, he has served at various charges in PEI, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick. He has served in various positions, Minister of Pastoral Care and Worship, Managing Pastoral Care in Hospitals, established a clinical pastor education program, served as an intentional interim minister on many occasions, as well as a transitional ministry, hospital chaplain, and supply minister. He is currently a chaplain with the RCMP, and he is a casual employee with Health PEI as a spiritual care clinician. So we certainly feel that we are moving in the right direction, and I want to thank you for your time.
We wish to thank the Trinity Youth for leading us in worship today. As we journey towards new ministry leadership, we thank the individuals and teams of Trinity for agreeing to lead or assist with the worship services. I'd ask for birthday celebrations and special occasions, but I got very few, but I did get one. Our sound tech today, Keith Small, it is his birthday. Next week, the service will be led by Louise Elder and Kathy Pavlik with an assist from the Trinity Choir. The church office has summer hours closed on Monday, open Tuesday to Friday for usual office hours. For additional information on these and other events in the life and work of Trinity, the bulletin or the summer newsletter are available at the entrances and on the website, trinitysummerside.ca. Trinity is truly blessed with those willing to share their time, talents, and treasures for the life and work of this community of faith.
As Bill brings the collection plate forward, please rise as Abel. This collection plate represents the time, talent, and treasures shared with this community of faith. We now have an opportunity to support this place of worship. The finances we offer allow many to gather here to worship, renewed and uplifted. Your offerings to this church and to the Mission and Service Fund touch many lives. Your offering is received. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the gift of music. Thank you for the song of birds, the buzzing of insects, the rhythms of the ocean, and all the ways your creation gives you praise. Thank you for musicians and composers, for singers and dancers, and for craftspeople who build musical instruments. May we always feel free to lift our voices, to share what is in our hearts, the joyful noise of praise, cries of pain and grief, the melodies of love and longing. May we always rejoice in connection with other singers in the great chorus of life. May the songs we sing lift our spirits and draw us into the living awareness of your presence. We pray for those who are singing with all their might, for those who find it difficult to sing, and for those whose song has been stilled. Nurturing God, may your perfect love song draw your children into harmony with each other and with you. We remember with loving concern those who are near and dear to us, our friends and families and neighbors. We remember with loving concern those who are in need around the world. O God, our great master musician, bless us, heal us, and bring us safely into your kingdom, where we may sing glorious songs together, praising you forever and ever. Amen. Singing, laughing, praying, the whole while, sharing the love of God in all God's creation.